tonight for revival. Everybody's just sort of physically exhausted. And realize that, but nonetheless, the Lord's still in control. He's still on the throne, and I'm glad He's still able to give us that we stand in need of. And I appreciate this privilege, and I apologize for not being able to get here this week, but seemed like a lot of times that turmoil comes, the devil stirs things up and tries to hinder and tries to slow us down, but thankful that I'm here this morning. I appreciate the privilege to be in this, coming this way. Appreciate Brother Jeff. Thank God for our past crossing this morning. And you got your Bibles, you want to read with us. We're going to read some scripture in Acts chapter 16. After we went to bed last night, laid down, and the Lord brought this thought to our minds. And so about 12:30, I got up and began to read and study this scripture. You know, a lot of times we preachers, I don't know about you, but we preachers like to solder together. You know, a lot of times when we get to a place at preaching, it seems like maybe we stall down. We want to have something we can fill in. But, you know, I like to read other men's thoughts and all on Scripture, but it seemed like I couldn't find nothing on this last night, but this is what the Lord gave me, and I just want to leave it with you this morning, and I just try to be obedient unto the Lord. And I thought about, they sung that song a while ago, Jesus is coming soon, and just as a lad of a boy, we'd go from revival to revival, and seem like every preacher would preach on the coming of the Lord. Amen. Boy, just scare me to death, because I was lost and undone, and I was afraid, if the trumpet sounded, that I'd burn in hell. Amen. But I thought about how last night we don't hear about the coming of the Lord much anymore. We don't hear messages about you must be born again much anymore. We come to church and we want to get one of those feel-good messages. Amen. This encourages us. Preacher, but there's a lost and dying world out there. And church, we need to get burdened for them. Amen. This morning. Because if the trumpet did sound, there'd be multitudes and multitudes. My friend would burn in hell. Maybe somebody in the congregation this morning, I don't know the hearts and minds of anybody, but if you're lost and undone without the Lord, you need to take heed, my friend, to your eternal destination. This morning, Acts chapter number 16, beginning with verse number 16, I'm going to read a good bit of scripture that morning. But the Bible reads like this: and it came to pass as he went out of prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and was and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. who having received such a charge, I thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another day. I thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to stand this morning and realizing, God, that we're nothing, Lord. We can do nothing without your touch. But I pray, God, that you might fill this place with your presence this morning. God, that conviction might move over this assembly. If there's one lost in our midst, today will be the day. Lord, they come and cry out to you. If there's one out of your will, bring them on. Lord, stir our hearts. Let us see your glory one more time. And Father, we'll leave here rejoicing and appraising you and thanking you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy and love. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And now for just a few minutes this morning, my friend, I want you to look at this statement, verse number 30. The Bible said he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. That's a question that was asked in those days. And I believe my friend still asked this morning, "What must I do to be saved?" My friend, today, multitudes of folks living around us, in our family, desire a better life than what they have. Folks are looking for peace and contentment in this world every way you turn, but you cannot find it. My friend, today, it seems like that this world is in turmoil this morning. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, even the churches seem like they're falling apart today. But our only hope this morning is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only hope today, my friend, is staying in his will. I'm in us living a life before a lost and dying world. The dead see what we got, my friend, and they get hungry and the desire to have the same peace and contentment in our soul today. What must I do to be saved? Was this jailer's question. My friend, we read about the jail. We read about the happening that caused this man to come to a place where he wanted to be saved by the grace of God. If you read the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that salvation comes, my friend, to different people. Amen. They have different experiences. I believe Lydia was a religious woman. Amen. And when Paul presented the gospel to her, and she accepted Christ and was saved, and there was a slave girl that was possessed with a devil, Paul cast that devil out, changed her life, and now we have a jailer. My friend, his experience was different than anybody else, amen, in this chapter. But I want to tell you this morning, my friend, have you been in revival this week? You might have went through the singing, I went through the praying, I went through the preaching. It not affect you at all. It may take God shaking the foundations of your world, amen, to get your attention. But he'll do it this morning. Amen. My friend, he'll get you to a place to where you want to cry out, what must I do to be saved? By the grace of God. And I've heard all my life, all I got to do, I present the sinner, and he'll do the saving. But you know there's some things that I've got to do before I can be saved. By the grace of God, there's too much of this easy. I believe this, and this morning, I raise your hand, repeat after me, amen, and you'll be saved. There's a little more to it than all that today. Brother, this Philippian jailer come to a place where fear filled his heart, amen, and he realized, my friend, that brother, it was heaven or hell. He realized he had to make a choice on his own. I believe fear has to come to a man's heart and let him realize he's going to have to make a choice. Amen. Today, amen, there's too much that's going on. Where we're coaching folks, amen, and repeating a sinner's prayer. The day I got saved, I don't know what I said. I didn't read the back of a tract. I didn't go down the Romans road. But I said the right thing because the Lord saved me. Amen. I believe it's the condition of the heart. I believe God looks on the heart. Amen. It's not what your lips say. It's what your heart desires. This morning, and this Philippian jailer come to a place where he wanted something different. Amen. We can preach all day long. We can minister all day long and beg all day long. But till a person comes to a place where they want to change in their life, they'll not be saved. My friend, amen, we got this thing all wrong in the world today. I believe this with all my heart. I've seen it happen. Amen. I've seen folks come to the altar and people get down beside them. Brother Scott begin to talk to them and tell them to do this. I tell them to do that. Amen. I get them so confused. They don't know what to do. But I believe this with all my heart. I believe the Spirit of God can draw you to the altar. He can take you to Calvary. Amen. This morning. But you got to come to a place where you want to change in your life. Amen. But I got to a place where I was lost. I got under conviction. Amen. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do nothing but I think about me dying and going to hell. I thought I was going to die at this any time. But I'm glad, brother, I come to a place when I got on my knees and said, Lord, I'm tired of this life. I want a different life. And my friend, when I come to that place, the Lord had meant business with me. Amen. There's too much of this today. Well, we tell our kids all you got to do is just believe. Amen. Paul could have told this Philippian jailer, you repeat after me, and I've seen it on TV. Amen. I've seen it in our local Baptist churches. Where they would, they done took the altars plumb out of the church. Have they got a counseling room back somewhere where they can counsel you into being saved by the grace of God? Apostle Paul was one of the men, probably the most knowledgeable men of the Bible. He fought, but on the road to Damascus that day, there's a light shone out about him. He heard a voice. He didn't need nobody to counsel him. All he needed was to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. What must I do? How to be saved? Here's the question this morning. I believe with all my heart there's got to be a fear in a man's life. Brother, he's got to come to a place where he's... wants a change. Now let me say this. Salvation is by invitation only. Amen. Brother, you can't get saved just when you want to. The Spirit of God has got to deal with your heart. Amen. You got to get under conviction. Amen. Before you be saved today. Oh. We come to a place. I thought about this as I read this scripture. Did you know the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing and pray. Amen. Down in the jail, in the prison, did you know they demonstrated a life of Christ? Me and you, Brother Cook said that we had died with a case of the mully grub. Amen. If we'd been down there in the prison begging to get out. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart that we're to bloom where we planted. Wherever we are, we ought to represent Christ. Amen. In the fullness. Amen. And live a life that bring honor to his name. At midnight, they begin to... Now, midnight is the ending of one old day and the beginning of a new. Amen. That's what midnight is. And brother, that Philippian jailer, the Bible said, when he put them in the stocks, had put them in the bonds, and now Paul and Silas begin to sing. The prisoners, the Bible said, heard them, but it didn't affect that jailer one bit. He was laying over her sleep. They begin to pray. It didn't affect the jailer one bit. Amen. Prayer and singing didn't get his attention. But when God shook the foundation of the prison, it woke him up. He may have to shake you, but he'll do it to get your attention. Ain't it a shame? We can come to church, go through revival, feel the wooing and the power of God, the moving and convicting sinners. They will not move. I mean, you can plead and beg and pray, and they will not move. Amen. Brother Randy, you let trouble and tragedy come. Man, that's what it takes a lot of time to get folks' attention. God is merciful. I'm not willing that any should perish. But he's long-suffering, my friend, to deal with your heart. But I believe when it comes to a place where you will not listen to the wooing, God may have to send tragedy to wake you up this morning. Midnight, they begin to sing and pray. Amen. Well, over we're in the prisons. But I like what the scripture says. Said that the foundations were shaken and all their bands were loosed. Amen. I mean, every one of them, all the prisoners, Brother Scott, every one of them's bands were loosed. Amen. When God shook that prison house over there. And you know what the devil told that prison, that jailer? You'd be better off dead than you are alive. Ain't that what he's telling folks today? You better off dead. You might as well just go ahead and take your own life. You better off dead. Amen. That old boy, if it hadn't have been for Paul, I would have died in his sins. I'm up and busted hell wide open. But the preacher had a concern for him. Amen. Cried out to him and gave him another invitation and said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Bible said he called for a light. Amen. And sprang in. And fell down at the apostles' feet. And said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. The conviction had already come. The fear had already filled his heart. Brother, he was right there at the door. Amen. He just won't know how to get in. And Paul said, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you. And if your household will believe, he'll save them.
Amen.
Bible said, after salvation, there's an evidence that you've been saved. Do you know that? Now, you might not see a change in one of these youngins that get saved. Amen. You might not see a change in their character. But you take somebody that's deep in sin. You take a drunk, he don't have to, amen, go to AA and learn how to quit. You take a man that's got a filthy mouth, he don't have to, amen, learn how to talk again. Brother, when the Lord comes in and does the work, there's an evidence. There's a lot of folks, you know what? I'd always been taught, after I got saved, I worked with two Pentecostal preachers. They told me what I needed was a second blessing. I'd already had so many I couldn't count them. Amen. But hey, what they're saying, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother, you need to get it. Amen. And I read in the book of Corinthians, we're all baptized into one body by one spirit. Amen. I believe I got what I needed when I got saved. Amen. The Lord equipped me with everything I needed that day. They said the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Well, amen, I don't speak in an unknown tongue, but when I got saved, there were some new things come out of my mouth. I guarantee you, I had a filthy mouth. Amen. But when the Lord saved me, brother, I'm like David. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me and heard my cry, brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my God, and put a new song down in my heart. Even praise. Man that's saved gonna talk different. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you something. It ain't the evidence, my friend, of you
I know some Pentecostals, and I'm not knocking another denomination, but I know some so-called folks I ain't got a bit of confidence in. Amen. They up and down, they in and out. I'm my friend, but I'm going to tell you what the evidence of being saved is. Paul said the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Brother, when you get saved, you get a hold of these things. It's a manifestation of a difference in your life. That woman at the well, she went over there at dinner time because she knew nobody wouldn't be around. They had a name for women like that. They talked about and run her down. That day when she met the Lord, she had a drink of living water. She left her water bottle and went into the city. You know who the first people I believe she went to? I believe she went to them five men that used her and abused her and said, "Come see a man." That told me all things that ever I did. When you get saved, you want somebody else to have the same thing you got. Amen, brother. I preached other Sunday morning Mother's Day message. When Jochebed made that ark over there, that Bible said she took burrusses and slime. Every car seat and every baby carriage you find. Amen, Miles Laboratory has put their stamp of approval on it. But I believe that Jochebed laid that ark over in that Nile River and stepped over in it. And she said there, if it'll hold me up, it'll hold my child up. When I got saved, it's good enough for me. I wanted my daughter to have the same thing.
Hey, that's right, Brother Billy.
Yeah. There's a manifestation. There's a difference. People's lives. You know what this Philippian jailer done? He took them over to his house and he began to clean them stripes where they'd beat them. And he set food before them. This is probably one of the meanest, vilest men in that, amen, city. But when the Lord changed him, let me tell you something. The Lord don't start on the outside and work in. He starts on the inside. Amen. And when the Lord saved me, he gave me a desire to do something about this outward man. Brother, there's a manifestation. Change took place in my life. You don't have to ask somebody. They don't have to wear a pin on their collar. Let's say I'm a Christian. You don't have to wear a sign around your neck. Say I've been born again. And let me say this. I've said this for years and years. It ain't how loud you holler, how high you jump, how high you lift your hands up to church, that impresses God no way. I mean, we come to worship, and it's good to do that. I love shouting. I encourage it. But what impresses God is how we live out yonder in the world. Amen. Before a lost and dying world, if they can see enough of Jesus and a manifestation in our life that we've been saved.
But that jailer lost his job. Amen. But if he didn't, he probably quit it. He couldn't work for Budweiser and be a Christian.
That's right, Brother Billy.
I can't understand that. He couldn't stand the lottery line and be a Christian. man, he couldn't tell. Let me just tell you, it ain't what two or three little dirty words in it. I heard it's a joke. You know, they wanted to say that. Hey, man. People say, I want you to see this movie, preacher. Ain't but two cuss words in it. Amen. Hey, brother, I'm going to tell you something. My ears is not garbage cans. I don't want to hear that junk. Amen. I just want to get in a place where I can bring honor and glory to the Lord and I can demonstrate Christ that somebody else will want him. What must I do to be saved? The biggest part's already been done. I tell you, they sung about Calvary this morning. How Christ died for our sins. My friend, all you and I have got to do. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe if you want to change, and you, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. I believe the Lord will deal your heart.
Yes, I do too.
Sure, I believe that. I believe he'll deal your heart if you want to be saved. That's wonderful grace. People, preachers tell me, say, you ignorant. You have a soul-winning ministry, no church. And I said, I don't go for us knocking on doors and reading the Romans Road. I believe in visiting. I believe you can get saved anywhere. Amen. But I believe it's my duty and your duty to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Not just by lip service, but by our actions.
That's right, Brother Billy.
The way we handle things. Amen. There's a fellow told me the other day, broke my heart. I helped ordain this boy. He works in a place and they said to give him a nickname, Cussing Preacher. I said, somebody will take him out and take a broom handle to him. Exactly. I don't live a perfect life. And neither do you.
Bless you.
I make mistakes. I fail and I falter. But there's somebody on the inside of me that when I do something wrong, pricks my heart just like that.
Right.
And I can't go no 6 months. I can't wait till I get home at night and get down by my bed and say a little old now and lay me down to sleep prayer. If I'm going to have victory in my heart, I'm going to have to find me a place somewhere. Right? Yeah. And I'm going to have to deal with that right then. Amen. That the Lord will take care of it and forgive me of it, cleanse me of it, that I can go on again. Saved. That question has been asked a lot of times in the Word of God. Rich young ruler come to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, he said, keep the commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Honor father and mother. Don't commit adultery. He said, all my life, from my youth, I've kept all these things. The Bible said Jesus loved you. One thing thou lackest. James said, if we offend in one point of the law, we offend it all. Now you might not agree with what I'm going to tell you. But I believe if a person, when they reach an age of accountability, could keep the whole law, I believe they'd go to hell. Now Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and Jesus didn't tell him He told him, you must be born again.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Billy.
Why didn't he tell that rich young ruler the same thing? Because Nicodemus knew he couldn't keep the law. I mean, he had enough sense about him. He had enough sense about him to know the law that he couldn't keep it. And this little young rich ruler come up to him. Boy, he thought he was everything. And Jesus said, you know, just keep the commandments. But one thing. And I believe maybe Ecclesiastes said this. God requires that which is past.
Yeah.
There's got to be something to pay for our past sins. I'll start right now and live a perfect life. Okay, but who's going to pay for yesterday? That's where Christ comes in.
Thank you.
Hey, man, that's where when he said it's finished, he stamped it, paid in full. He paid the sin debt for you. You can be saved today. If the Lord's convicting your heart this morning, if he's knocking at your heart's door, speaking to you, when I remember standing in the church house, and I'd try to hide behind one of them red packs on. I felt like everybody in that church was looking at me. My heart would just beat about out of my chest. And I know the Lord was dealing with me. And if I could go back and change anything in my life, it would be that. The first time he dealt with my heart, I'd give him my life.
Amen.
It'll save me a lot of heartache. Do you the same way this morning? If the Lord's speaking to you right now, you know what I'd do? I'd get up out of my pew and I'd come by on one of these altars. What you got to do, you got to let the Lord convict you. You got to come, and I'm going to tell you what you do. You tell the Lord what you want. With your own lips, you tell him what you want. I believe when you get to that place, you're speaking from the heart anyway. Tell him what you want. And I believe this morning you can leave this church house rejoicing. I believe you can have the same character that this Philippian jailer had. There'll be a manifestation in your life. You've been saved with the grace of God. When you meet those folks that you're acquainted with in the morning, they're going to see a difference in you. Boy, ain't God good today. He didn't make it hard. And the Holy Spirit does all the work. He convicts. He brings us to a place where we confess. And he ushers us into the presence of God.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
So all we got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be saved today. If you know somebody this morning that's lost and don't know the Lord, you know what I'd do? I'd get up out of my pew and I'd come get on my face and I'd beg God to convict them. They're saying, I'm going to tell you something, church. And you older folks know what I'm talking about. I remember as a little boy, we'd go all over the place for revival meetings. Somebody sent me something that day talking about drugs. And you probably read it about, I had a mama that drugged me to church. I didn't I didn't have to ask her where we was going. I know. But they were some churches you could pull up in the parking lot and the hair on the back of your head would stand up. And your heart would go to beat. Because the Spirit of God was in that place. There's some churches that didn't bother you at all. There was no conviction there. What I'd do, mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, I'd get on my face and I'd pray, God, I want so much power in my life. When folks get around me, it's lost. They'll be convicted. They'll be convicted. It's going to take conviction. And folks, as I said a while ago, you older ones know what I'm talking about. You don't feel that much anymore in the church houses. You don't feel it much anymore. Now, if we could get to a place where there's so... I'm telling you, I remember churches that's so powerful, if you didn't want to get saved, you better not get around them. They had so much power. My pastor, Brother Monroe Willingham, told me that the church he got saved in, there was more people saved around the rock altar than there was in the church. The men had so much power. They prayed. It's going to take conviction this morning. I'd get up out of my pew this morning, I'd come and I'd get on my face and I'd say, Lord, please, fill my life. Let me have power so that people be convicted. Let the church have so much power that when truck drivers pass down Powder Springs Road, there'll be conviction. And that's what you want. And if you got conviction, you're going to see sinners saved. I'm not saying you don't have it. I'm saying that's what we need more of this morning.
Amen.
Conviction of God. While we get a verse for song this morning, I want to ask you, if you'd just be honest today, if you get up out of your pew and you'd come, and you'd pray, you'd beg God, Lord, help me. Help me, God. Help me to have power. Help me to